And as you are, I remind us to, I invite us to go back and to think of that image that Anne lifted up to us earlier. Andrew, Simon Peter, they're on the shoreline. Jesus comes walking by and says, "Come and follow me." And it's there on the shoreline that their nets are left behind them. And they set off with him to search other seas. They come across James and John, sons of Zebedee. And the call goes out again, "Come and follow me." And so that call has continued to go down through the ages. Jesus reaching out to each and every one of us, to all mankind, saying, "Come and follow me. Come and leave your nets by the seaside, by the seashore, on the seashore, and come and follow me." Jesus invites us this morning to come and to leave the nets of our labor aside, and to hear and to think once again about his call on our lives. Sometimes when we read that scripture, at first it might seem as though Simon Peter and Andrew, James and John are a little bit impulsive. In fact, there are many in the world today who would call them downright crazy. Can you imagine somebody walking by and saying, "Come and leave behind your nets. Come and leave behind what you're doing and just follow me." Now let's think about what it is they were doing, first of all. They were fishermen. They were there beside the Sea of Galilee, the sea that was known for its wonderfully beautiful days that were interrupted by storms that one could only imagine that seemed to come out of nowhere and turned the world upside down. They were in a land where the trees are permanently bent because the winds blow so hard when they come. Fishermen were not at the top of the food chain. They were not at the top of the job career list that everybody had. Fishermen were down at the bottom and were often pushed to the side by society because people knew the smell that went with the business. And they didn't want to deal with it. But these were businesses that were built over long periods of time with lots of hard work, with one father teaching his son how to fish so that he might grow up and take over the business only to teach his son how to fish, that it might go on. They had their businesses often included contracts with the Roman government, with people that were not loved in the land, because that was where the money was. That's where the business was. And so they would make contracts to sell fish to the government of Rome. So they worked hard to fulfill these contracts with, again, what people considered the enemy of their time, their place. It was hard work. It was difficult work. But it was a family business where they lived and grew and shared life together in all kinds of ways. And Jesus comes walking up to them and asks them to leave it all behind. But yet, was this really the first time that Jesus had invited them to do that? Certainly, if we look at the clues that the Gospel of John offers us that we looked at last week, I would say no. Do you remember last week's Gospel? Do you remember those disciples that were following John the Baptist? He was teaching them about the coming kingdom of God and telling them how near that it was. And he was handing off his ministry to Jesus. He kept pointing to Jesus as being the Lamb of God. He lifted it up so often that finally those disciples decided to follow him. Remember, Jesus turned to them and asked them what they wanted. And ultimately invited them to come and to spend some time at his house. Come to spend some time where he was staying. To come and to hear about life and to hear what he was up to. Andrew was one of those two, and he was touched in such a way that he went and got Simon Peter. He said, "You ain't going to believe that we found the Messiah. Come and see for yourself." And together they went to where Jesus was staying. But yet we see in the Gospel of Matthew today, Jesus coming to Simon Peter and Andrew in a different way, in a different time, and saying, "Come and follow me. Don't come and see where I'm staying. Don't come and listen to what I'm saying. Come and get involved in what I'm doing." and I'm going to teach you everything you need to know. I'm going to change your life because you're no longer going to be fishers of men. Or you're no longer going to be fishermen. You're no longer going to be spending these hours out on the lake. I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. Men and women, and how to build friendships with people. And there they leave their nets on the seashore. The boat's sitting there. The nets, why were they there? Well, they were getting the nets ready for the next day. They were drying them out. They were mending them. They were making sure that when it was time to set out onto the Sea of Galilee, that they were ready to go. They had no intention of leaving what they were doing. But yet, at Jesus' invitation, they drop it all. I wonder, did they know how long this was going to take? He says, come and follow me and I'll teach you to be fishers of men. He didn't say how long it was going to take. Maybe it was a couple hour jaunt that they were going on down the seashore where they'd pick up a life lesson or two. Maybe they knew in the back of their mind that they wanted something different and they wanted to leave the nets behind. Somewhere deep inside of them, they didn't want to be a part of the family business anymore. The gospel doesn't tell us all of that. It tells us that they left their nets on the seashore and they set off in faith to follow Him. Because Jesus was inviting them into that deeper relationship. He was inviting them to get involved in what He was doing. But I wonder if they really knew what it would cost. I wonder if they knew what they were giving up. I wonder about Zebedee as he watched James and John walk away with the nets laying there, with the sand washing over those nets, burying it there. I wonder if he was hoping they'd be back soon, or if he knew deep in his heart that their lives were changed forever. Jesus comes into our lives to change them forever. He doesn't necessarily call us to leave family and friends behind as if we don't care for them. But He calls us to trust Him in a deeper way and to follow Him into places that we've never been before. I remember after searching my heart, trying to figure out if it really was God calling me into the ministry, stepping out in faith and going through the ministry inquiry process, going off to East Poland, Maine, and spending 2 weeks there fighting off mosquitoes and wrestling with things that I believed and how to share it with others through licensing school. I remember coming back and wondering what it was that Jesus really had called me to do. What was I going to do with it next? I remember calling the district superintendent and asking her where it would go next because she hadn't met me. She was brand new in the position too. She said, well, in a month or so, I'll give you a call and we'll sit down and talk about what it is that you want to do and that you feel God's calling you to do. Man, does God have a different understanding of a month than I did. Because she called back the next day and said, would you go to Pittstown and just fill in on a Sunday because the pastor's got to have arm surgery. She had no clue that the organist would call me the next week and say, by the way, the pastor has terminal cancer and he won't be able to preach anymore. We want to have communion and we don't know how to do that. And so I called another district superintendent, was covering for our new one while she was off at district superintendent boot camp. And said, what do I do? I said, I can't serve communion if I'm not appointed to the church as a local pastor. He said, well, consider yourself appointed for the weekend. Left 9 years later. Again. But at that moment, I remember in October, after serving for a few weeks there, and after Reverend Clark had died and gone home, and his son was trying to figure out what to do next, I remember the church calling and saying, we want you to be our pastor. And I remember the district superintendent calling and saying, would you consider pastoring this church? And me being young and foolish, jumped in with both feet and said yes. But I never stopped to think what it was going to cost. You know, I'd been a plumber for almost 20 years. I'd worked for small companies, and the company I was with, there was just Neil and I, and we'd been working together for almost 12 years at the time. For that almost 20 years, I'd used my own truck. Didn't get reimbursed for mileage. 3 months before, he'd bought me a brand new truck. Covered all the gas. Could use it all I wanted. It was a great job because I didn't have to work nights or weekends, only when he went on vacation. We were good friends. Life was good. And here was God asking me to leave it all behind. It wasn't the first time that I had thought about God's calling in my life. For many, many years, I'd known that God had called me to be a firefighter. Even though I didn't grow up in the church, that was something that was deep in my heart, I knew. But that was what God had created me to do. And I lift that up because, you know, it's not about being called into pastoral ministry. God calls us all to be in the business of making disciples. God calls us all to be in ministry in the world. God calls us all to be caring and reaching out and sharing His love, His word, His hope with people in all kinds of different ways as we live out our lives. What has God called you to do? What is God calling you to do? Because that changes as we move through different seasons in our lives. I remember one summer being down to seminary in Washington at Wesley. And every Sunday we go and worship in different churches. And on one particular Sunday we had gone to the National Cathedral. And like so many of those great old cathedrals, it's got those cavernous ceilings that are huge. You couldn't think of how to even get up there to change the light bulb if you had to. But they were designed that way for a purpose, so that when you're sitting there in worship, they were drawing your eyes heavenward. So that we could remember as we walk through this world making friends and living out life, that it's God who comes in through us first and foremost and invites us to be a friend and to join Him in all the things that He's doing. And it's broken up into different sections. And I remember the center section is where most folks sit during worship. The only difference between the center section here and the center section there is it's a whole lot wider. In fact, it's a whole lot longer. And probably if we took the pews out, we could play some of this afternoon's football games right there. But along the side, there's all these other little rooms. And they've got wonderful quotes and different scriptures carved into the rock walls. And in some of the rooms, there's people like Helen Keller that are buried there. And in other rooms, there's rooms that are dedicated to different denominations that make up our country. There are different choir lofts where people gather and sing in all kinds of different languages. And I remember sitting there that Sunday morning worshiping. And in that church, it's an Episcopal church. It's a very high church, very, very liturgical process that you're going through. And there, you have the cross that's carried in and the Bible that's carried in. There's a lot of formality that goes with it. The communion elements are brought in at just the right moment. I remember sitting there, listening to the message, preparing for communion, and looking at all the people that were milling around the edges, that were searching the little rooms along the side, along the fringes, listening to a word here and there as they read and looked at the things that were there and thought about the history that they were in the presence of. I couldn't help but think of life and their Christian faith. That in some way, there are seasons of our life when we're kind of out there on the fringes. Where we're listening to a word here, and we're listening to a word there. And we're looking at all the other things that are going around, and thinking about the history, and thinking about the world that we're in the middle of. But that carving time out to sit down, and to really reflect on and give thanks to God who wants to walk with us all the days of our life seems impossible. Seems irrelevant. Seems all kinds of different things. In a way, that's the way my life had been, as I had been called to do other things. But at that point, I'm not saying that God calls everybody into pastoral ministry. It'd be a pretty boring world if we just sat around and listened to each other talk. I'm saying that God was calling me to a deeper commitment. He was calling me to follow Him into a new place. So this morning as we worship, I pray that you would, and as we go into the week that lies ahead, I pray that you continue to worship. And you continue to reflect on how God's been at work in your life. What God has called you to do. How God has called you to share His love with people. And I pray that you will also take time to reflect on what God is calling you to do right here and right now. What nets is Jesus calling you to leave on the seashore behind you? As you step out in faith and search other seas, walking with the one who stilled the waters of the Sea of Galilee and will never leave us alone. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the many amazing ways that you come to work in our hearts and in our lives. For the ways that you call us to be involved in the things that you're doing. So Lord, continue to be at work in our lives, teaching us what's important to you. Help us to see the choices that we need to make to build relationships with people around us and to deepen our relationship with you. Continue to shine your light into the dark corners of our lives and reveal the abundant life that's already growing there as we journey with you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your willingness to teach us, Lord. And we look forward to what you'll continue to do in our lives as we ask it all in your mighty name. Amen.